Day 21. Give careful thought to your financial practices and never, never neglect God's house and servants. Give careful thought. Haggai, a fascinating book. Every once in a while, God raises up people in a generation to inspire people to live generously. In Haggai's day, it's as if it were today. This could be America today. Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin? Now, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways, your financial ways, your giving ways. You have planted much, but you have harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You put on clothes, but you are not warm. It was high fashion. You put on clothes, but you are not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. In other words, they're making money. You know, they're doing all this activity, and the money's just flowing through their life. It says, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up to the mountains and bring down timber and build the house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. That's what inflation and taxes will do to you, okay? You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. God says, when people are neglecting loving God and being generous to the things of God, all that they're scrambling for, all that they're working for is disappearing, literally flowing through their fingers. It's going through their pockets, and if they do hold on to anything, God says, He blows on it, and there's nothing left. Why, declares the Lord Almighty, because of my house which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with his own house. Therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew, and the earth its crops. I called for a drought on the fields and on the mountains, on the grain, the new wine, the oil, and whatever the ground produces, on men and on cattle, and on the labor of your hands. God says, when His people, and He was talking to His people, when His people forget about being generous, forget about the work of God, forget about the house of God, and concern themselves with their own house, God says he will just bring a leanness to that experience and to their land and into their lives. I had a friend of mine worked for Home Depot. He was telling me that the average Home Depot store takes in, grosses, this is every single store in America, $1 million a week. $1 million a week per store. And that's just Home Depot. I mean, there's Lowe's and there's Menards and there's Lumberyards and there's Walmarts. I mean, we are spending for our houses at astronomical clips. All right? And the interesting thing about that, when you go into Home Depot or Lowe's or even when I do, we will walk in there with an expectation we're going to do something. And, you know, we don't even really think about the money very much. I mean, we'll go buy a faucet for $100 and we'll go buy a door for this and a window for that or whatever it is we need, you know, for our garden. And we will drop hundreds of dollars in those stores for our houses and we won't even think about it. Now imagine for a moment that there were a missionary in your church and the pastor got up and said, you know, we're going to take an offering for missionary and I want each one of you to consider at least giving $100, $200, $300, $400. If a pastor did that in America today, people would be shocked. People would be angry. People would leave that church. People would say, who does he think he is? We would be so stunned and shocked that somebody was going to ask us to invest in the things of God at that kind of level, that kind of clip. And yet we do it for our houses without even thinking about it. Without even thinking about it. We don't even give it a consideration and we'll spend hundreds and thousands in a couple trips for the patio, for the yard, for the garden, for the kitchen, for the living room, for the whatever. And what Haggai was raised up by God to say is, oh, folks, think about what you're doing. Think about what you're neglecting. You know, there's nothing wrong with having a nice home and having things in your home. That's not what I'm saying here. But when we do that to the neglect of thinking about the things of God and the work of God, then there's something wrong. There truly has to be a balance to these things. Exodus 22:29, God says, you must be prompt in giving me the tithe. You must be prompt in giving me the tithe. Being a faithful giver. Now, I know some people, and I was told even some people here this week, have had a trouble even that I referenced the idea of a tithe. For some of you, it is no problem at all. I'm preaching to the choir. You're like, man, that was a settled issue decades ago. There's no big deal. For others, that's kind of like, well, no, we're New Testament Christians. We're grace Christians. You know what? Here's what I'll tell you. Grace always trumps law. Grace always trumps law. And so was the tithe in the Old Testament? Yes. Was it part of the law? Yes. Actually, there were three different tithes in the Old Testament. And if you added them all up, they added up to 23 1/3%. But the tithe even predates the law because Jacob made a spiritual decision. Nobody made him do it. He was out in the wilderness by himself. And he says, God, now that I know you're really God, I'm going to begin to give a tenth to you. Abraham, in a great battle, takes the spoils, and to Melchizedek gives a tenth. Jesus commends the tithe in the Gospels. In the book of Acts, they don't talk about a tithe. They talk about people selling. Anyone who had houses and land sold them. Grace trumped law. And so if there was a need, the Bible says there were no needy people among them. People just took their resources that they didn't actively need and they released them for the kingdom of God. Paul talks about the Macedonians. They gave far beyond their ability. And they did it with joy. They did it with expectations. How does this work in real life? Well, let me kind of flesh it out. I've sat with people in my office, tens of thousands of dollars of indebtedness. And we go over, okay, this is their income, and these are all their debts, and this is all their lifestyle choices. And I go through this with them. I sit down, we go over all the numbers, and then I ask them a question. I say, okay, will you begin to give at least 10% to God's work every time you get paid? And they're like, they're kind of like, excuse me. Like, you look at the mess we're in, And I say, and here's what I tell them. You're absolutely right. You are in such a mess. We can't spreadsheet a solution for your mess. Can't do it. I have no way to get you out of the mess. I can't put it on an Excel spreadsheet and say, well, this is the way to do it. And they said, now you're telling us to give? I said, yeah, I am. And they said, why? I said, here's why. You need all the help of heaven. You need all the help of heaven to get out of this mess. And the only way I know how to truly invite God into your finances is to say, God, when we get paid, we'll first give to you. And one guy said to me, well, I don't know if I can trust God. What if he doesn't take care of me? I said, he'll do a better job than you're doing by yourself. Look at the mess you're in. Folks, these are true stories. I've had people that have said, really? Okay, we'll start. I've had other people say, no way, we're not going to do it. The really amazing thing is the people that said, okay, we'll start doing things God's way, and looking for God's wisdom and God's direction and God's leading and God's provision, within 1, 2, 3, 4 years, they're out of all their indebtedness. And there's others that have said, no way, we're not going to do that. And I say, I can't help you then. I don't have any human solutions. And they'll go, we'll go find someone else. And I've seen those people 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 6 years later. How you doing? Oh, we're worse than we ever were when we saw you. And there's others that came out. I remember one guy named George. George was like, I don't think God's going to take care of me. I said, well, he'll do better than you're doing. George got a paycheck. He wrote a check for $44. He pile of bills here. This paycheck here, check here. He writes it. He's a little scared. His wife happens to be going to the dentist. And she goes to the dentist. The front desk gal said, don't you owe us some money? And the gal's like, yeah, we do. We got so many bills. We'll get you something soon, blah, blah, blah. And the gal goes, just a minute. She goes over to the bill area and she looks at the bill and it was like $45, something like that. And she says, you know what? We'll just skip it. We'll just consider this paid. And she comes home and tells George, and they like can't believe it. I mean, they've never had anything good like this happen in their life, but it was right on the heels of them making a decision to give. The next time George gets paid, he tells me that he decided to double that amount. He went up to $88. He just, wow, look at the Lord did last time. Maybe he'll do it again. And so he writes a check for $88, and he looks through all of his bills, and then he got really worried. There wasn't a single bill for like $88. And he was really scared. He's like, oh, man, how's this going to work? But, he wrote the check, and he called me a couple weeks later. And he said, Brian, I haven't balanced our checkbook in like 2 or 3 years. And so the other day I balanced it, and we were like $90 to the good. I said, wow, what a coincidence, George, you know? A couple weeks later, he called me, and their washer and dryer broke. They couldn't get it fixed. They didn't have the money, but they had said, okay, we're not going to charge things anymore. And so they did a real novel thing. They prayed. They prayed. They didn't go to Sears and just put it on a credit card. They prayed, said, God, we don't have money to fix a washer and dryer. We don't have money to buy a washer and dryer. And in the past, we had gone out and just put it on credit cards because you got to have a washer and dryer because they both broke the same week. And he said, Brian, I was helping a neighbor move. The guy was moving out of state, and we loaded up the semi, and we get everything in there, and we stuff everything in the back door. We close the door on the semi, and all of a sudden the guy goes, oh, the washer and dryer in the basement. So they go down, they get the washer and dryer in the basement, and no matter what they did, they couldn't get him in the truck. And the guy's like leaving in an hour to move out of state. And he goes, hey, George, you know anyone that needs a washer and dryer? And George is like, well, we do. Hey, they're 2 years old, $50, they're yours. That never happened before. But George and his wife never prayed before. But now they began to see God work. Another gal came to me one time and she said, Brian, I really want to start giving, but I'm looking at my finances and I can give to God and I can eat and I can pay my rent. I can do any two of those. Eat, pay rent, and give. I can do any two. I said, which two do you want to do? She said, I really want to give. I said, well, that's good. And she said, and I think I better eat. I said, well, that's good. And she said, but I don't have any money for an apartment. I said, then you're going to need to pray for a free place to live. And she said, can you do that? I said, if you're given to God, you can. If you're given to God, yes, you can pray. And not only that, we will pray with you. And so she's like, okay, I'll start praying for like a free place to live. And a few weeks later, Terry moved in with Sandy and I. What it is we had built an addition on our home. We had a debt-free home. We built an addition on our home. And when we built an addition, it was like a bedroom and a living room kind of a thing. Well, we decided to put a whole little mini apartment underneath our expansion. Had a separate entrance, little kitchenette, little living room, bathroom, and a master bedroom, and a little area for kids to sleep. And we built this thing. And we built it for missionaries. But you know what? No missionaries ever came. What it became was a debtor's prison. See, all these people in debt that wanted to really get out of debt, we would say, well, you can live downstairs for free. And they're like, really? He's like, yeah. Get out of wherever you're at. Get on top of your finances. Come and live downstairs 3 months, 6 months, 12 months, 18 months. We don't care. It's there. It's there. And we lived open-handed in a tight-fisted world. We had a single mom who was pregnant and was going to have a baby. She lived down there. We had this Terry who took months to get out of debt. We had a couple with two kids, two babies, that lived in that debtor's prison. And they got themselves out of debt. But it started with them saying, okay, we want to give to God. And we want to see God lead us and provide for us. Give careful thought to your financial practices and never neglect God's house and servants.